Welcome to our Cabbage Extras. I'm your host, Mickey Useups. It seems like whenever we have Greg Swartz of Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm on the show, we absolutely must have extras. Greg is so knowledgeable and well-spoken, it's nearly impossible to cut this stuff out. In this week's extras, Greg talks about dealing with pests on the farm and in the garden. Cabbage can be tough to grow. There are pests. Can you talk about the prickly nature of growing cabbage?
Sure. Yeah, cabbage are heavy feeders, which means that they will want a good amount of nitrogen. They also want the soil to be very well drained, which is pretty much true of most plants. So the thing you have to pay attention to is preparing the soil before you plant it. You know, so for us, what that means is that we use cover crops as the main source of our fertility. So we want to make sure that we have a good cover crop leading into the planting of cabbage. So for example, for our fall planting of cabbage, we'll do a mix of oats and peas in the months leading up to that. That adds the organic matter. And then the pea is a legume, so that provides the nitrogen component. Pests are definitely a challenge. Anything in the brassica family, which of course includes cabbage and many, many other crops. In our area, the primary pest is an insect called the flea beetle. And it's a tiny little black bug the size of a pinhead that will go after every single plant in the brassica family. And it will destroy the crop, whether it's small, just germinated seedling or a transplanted seedling in the field. And so our approach to dealing with the flea beetle is to use something called a row cover. And a row cover is a spun plastic fiber that we put out over the plants as soon as we plant them. And it's a physical barrier to keep the flea beetles off of the plants until the plants are big enough to withstand that attack. Another tricky one is cabbage moth, and the populations of cabbage moths kind of go up and down year to year. Most of the time, if we use that row cover for the flea beetles, the plants are really quite strong and have a good leap up on the growth cycle before the cabbage moths come. And then on the disease front, biggest thing with brassicas is one that's called clubroot, and that is actually really simple to avoid by not planting anything in the brassica family in the same place too frequently. So for us on our farm, we have a 5-year rotation, which means that no single plant family will be planted in the same field within 5 years. That really pretty much takes care of clubroot.
Crop rotation is for an organic farm. That's one of the key ways that you control pests and disease is moving them around. So no one area, no one field can get too used to what's there and also attract the pests that feed on it.
Exactly.
Do you have any tips for somebody who might want to grow a few heads in the garden?
Basically the same techniques that I just described on farm scale. It really is best to start cabbage inside to grow your own transplants as opposed to putting the seed directly in the garden. And I do recommend using a row cover as well. You can get small pieces of the row cover at local garden centers.
Talk a little bit about storing cabbage in the wintertime. Is there any tricks to that?
The first piece I should say is choosing varieties of cabbage that are meant for storage, right? There are some varieties that are kind of looser heads, that there's more space between the different leaf layers, and those won't store quite as well. So if you look in a seed catalog, you'll find varieties that are actually meant for storage. And what that means is they're very dense. That's step one. Step two is to pick it on time when it is mature. So firm, not too much disease starting to get onto the wrapper leaves. And then you want to pick it and take off all the loose leaves, make sure that it's nice and clean, and then put it into some kind of controlled atmosphere. So that means in an ideal world, that would be like a walk-in cooler, which of course most people don't have at home. Ideal storage temperature for cabbage is about 36 degrees Fahrenheit with very high humidity, like up in the 90s. If you don't have a walk-in cooler, then you could do it in a refrigerator, but you have to be careful in a refrigerator that it doesn't dry out too much. And it does keep pretty well in a root cellar, you know, as long as you can keep it cold enough. What happens with a lot of cabbage after a couple months of storage is that you will start to get some rot on the outer leaves, you know, the outer wrapper leaves, but you can always take those off and the heart of it is still good. So,
of course, our foodie Lori Fogg from A Coal Cracker in the Kitchen website and Facebook page was a woman after my own Eastern European heart. So needless to say, our interview went a bit longer than I planned. Here she talks about how to get started with cabbage if you don't like that funky smell or if you just want to give it a try. Do you have any tips for people that think they don't like cabbage because they don't like the way it smells when it's cooking?
There is nothing like a good stinky house on New Year's Day because you've cooked pork and sauerkraut. But I would say start out with some recipes that don't require it to be cooked fully through. Like a halouki requires the cabbage to be fully cooked. You want it good and soft. But halushki can be made where you can, say, finely shred the cabbage and just get it to where it's got a little bit of a bite left. You know, when you bite down on it, you get a little resistance. And then mix it with your dough balls or noodles or however you're doing it. You don't have to take it to the soft stage. I prefer it in the soft stage. I like to cook it until it's partially caramelized, so I get a bit of browning. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to do that. And of course, if you want to jump into cabbage and you're not sure whether you even like it or not, there are things like coleslaw. There's the quintessential Pennsylvania Dutch pepper cabbage, which I adore. So you can kind of work your way into it. I would just say don't be afraid of it. And you don't have to cook it into oblivion in some dishes. I find there's a balance. Up until a certain point, you don't have that stinky weird thing going on. And then after a certain point, that goes away and it blends in with the other things you're making. So if you straddle that fence and get on one side or the other, I think you'll find you'll enjoy it.
Tell me about the pepper cabbage. I don't know that I've ever tried that.
Some people consider it as a pickled cabbage. It's a very finely grated cabbage with some green peppers chopped up. I like to use a mix. I like to see the colors. I like red pepper. I like some green bell pepper. And even if there's a mix at the store, I'll buy an orange or a yellow one. And it gets a sweet and sour dressing that's basically vinegar, sugar, granulated sugar, and water mixed together. I put a little celery seed in mine, a little salt and black pepper, and then I put it in the refrigerator for a day before I serve it. And it actually pickles the cabbage. It's the typical Pennsylvania Dutch sweet and sour, and I love it with things like noodles or anything doughy, pot pie. Absolutely adore it. And it keeps a lot longer and nicer than coleslaw.
Well, that's all the bits I just couldn't part with in this episode of Today's Made Ingredient. Thanks for listening. I'm Mickey Useups.